Hey, this is Chipix. You're listening to Center Ring.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. Episode 132, coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The time, 8:52 p.m. The date, November 27th, 2018. Hope you all had a good Thanksgiving, a safe holiday. I know we talked to some people while streaming and everything. It's good to hear from you. What do we have on the show today? I do believe it is the best episode ever. I can tell you that, as we are going to talk some Fortnite. As we ask the question again, is it an esport? Is it ready? Will it ever be? We'll discuss. ECS Season 6 Finals wrapped up in Arlington, Texas, in our backyard. We were there, so we'll tell you all about that. And of course, we'll finish the show with some e-news. Let's introduce the crew, though. As always, we have Anuj. Hello, Anuj.
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I am wonderful. I am wonderful. Did you have a good holiday?
I did, man. Spent a lot of time with family. Enjoyed it. Watched the Cowboys win. It was a good holiday. Thanksgiving's like one of the favorites, you know?
For sure. For sure. And we have Brett. Hello, Brett.
What's up, boys? Hello.
Good Thanksgiving? Good holiday?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, you know, it's always good. It's not a Thanksgiving unless you, like, pass out from eating too much.
Yeah. My holiday was full of traditions. The Lions sucked. I fell asleep midway through the Cowboys game. I worked on Thanksgiving, which is also pretty traditional for me, working at the radio station. Spent 7 hours looking for a couch on Friday. Got a TV. Kind of redid my room, which, again, every time I move my PC, it seems like something breaks, which is why if people are watching us on Twitch right now, we don't have webcams. But that's not my fault. Discord is just not behaving well lately when it comes to webcams. I don't know why. Discord needs to fix their issues. But besides that, let's pimp out the socials, shall we? Follow us on Twitter, at The Center Ring. Our website, tcr.gg. You can hit us up on Discord there, our YouTube channel. Everything you pretty much need to know about us is there, and all that fun stuff. So let's get into this episode, though, because we do have a lot to get to. let's start with ECS and our review of the Arlington Stadium as a combo platter here. If you listened all the way through to the end of last week's episode, you would have heard me and Anuj jokingly saying that it was a small tournament and, you know, who really cares about it. But that's just, us having some fun with some friends, right, Anuj? That was just us joking around.
Just messing around, dude. I mean, the whole time I knew it was something special, something you wouldn't want to miss, and I'm glad we got the opportunity to be there.
Yeah, so we were contacted pretty much last minute saying, hey, sorry, we never saw your email. Here's some press credentials. Come watch. And so we did. And I'm really glad that we ended up going because, A, I think the finals were easily won for the history books as far as most amazing best out of three that ended up being a 2-0, right? Like, it wasn't even down to the third map, and yet you felt like it was. Between Astralis and MIBR. And plus, the stadium is pretty awesome, and we'll get into that in a second. Did you guys want to start with Astralis and MIBR? I mean, that was really the big play here.
Yeah, that's the match you want to talk about for sure.
I mean, we could throw out Cloud9 and Team Liquid got last place. Cloud9 still is using Valens as a sub. I mean, there's not much you can say about them when they're not even dealing with their roster. Time and time again,
he went 1-20 in the second match. So
yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna
God.
I'm not even going to waste my breath looking at that, right? That's a football team using a backup QB in the playoffs. It's like,
I feel like either of us could have just sprayed through smoke, right? And picked up at least two kills. Right?
I say that until we play in those DreamHack tournaments. And then I'm like, oh my God, if I'm getting my ass beat by these guys.
If I had the right NVIDIA settings, I definitely could get a couple kills.
Ooh, topical.
Yeah, that's a topical dig. Man.
God.
Now, we did have Nip and North make the semis. Nip played really well. It was fun to see some of the old guys come out. I think really you saw Forrest with the silenced M4 too. You know, like he's one of the few people that you see use that. Really pulled out some awesome plays in this event. You saw Get Right clutch a couple of rounds as well. They ended up falling to Astralis, but took a map off of them.
Which is a feat in itself, right? With the way Astralis has been playing, if you can take a map from them, I would say that you played a really good game. A really good game. Of course, though, they fell victim to one of the things that you can never, that you should never do against Astralis. And that is somehow you let Nuke get through the banning stages. Why teams have not figured this out, that you insta-ban Nuke against Astralis? MIBR figured it out. Pretty sure Nuke was the first map they banned. The first or second. But they definitely
It was their first ban.
The first
because after the first ban, you get your first pick. So it's got to be first ban going in.
So MIBR figured it out. They were like, look, we'll take our chances on any other map. Do not let them play Nuke. Of course, they beat Nip 16-7. So it was quickly, again, Astralis keeping up that win streak. And then you get to the finals with Astralis and MIBR playing on Championship Sunday. Really, really solid finals. Like I said, Astralis ended up winning 2-0, but it was not a 2-0 kind of game. The first one on Inferno, Astralis ended up winning 16-14, and then that crazy double overtime. And we can get into any talking point with that match that you guys want to get into.
Well, let's just wrap up the Inferno piece of it, because the way that ended was, I mean, it was like a Greek tragedy, dude. These guys had fought back to pull themselves to a point where they had an opportunity to tie. They were down 15-14. They really pulled out some tough rounds in the last five rounds. I think they won like four out of the five previous to the final round, just to give them a chance here. They had Astralis on an eco, and they were pushing mid on Inferno. Well, Astralis smoked off, you know, top mid, and rather than waiting for the smoke to dissipate, they tried to pop flash through. And on the other end of that was Device waiting there with the CZ. I think he gets a double or a triple kill, if I'm not mistaken. And then Dupree, I believe, comes in with the cleanup to get the last two. But really, that was what a mental error in that situation to make. And it's just not something you would expect to see with a team like MIBR. They were incredibly confident, obviously, making that decision. But ended up really being a mistake, and I think you saw Stewie's frustration. I don't know if you saw the highlight, but
I did. I did.
Stewie looked fairly irritated with that call.
And, you know, and even Tarek, did you see his tweet from today?
Yeah, yeah, I did.
So, I mean, they're aware of it, and they're calling themselves out for it, which I'm sure if you're fallen, that doesn't sit well with you, that the two new guys on the team are publicly... And it's even worse that they're not just publicly coming out and saying, I didn't like the call, right? The fact that they're kind of just showing it without saying it is even worse, right? Because that gets people talking rather than just ripping the Band-Aid off.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that that's kind of your first look at, okay, MIBR has been playing well, but I think the frustration is almost to a boiling point where you may see some roster moves. Now, I guess we can just get into this now because there's not a whole lot to say, but Fur is going to be out. He is having surgery on his hearing, of all things. I guess that's
He's
what happens when
1 year.
I guess that's what happens when your career bases off you blasting gunshots into your ears.
No, but he's been like deaf. He's been deaf in 1 year for a long time, like since he's really? Been before playing.
So what you're saying is sneak up on his left.
No, so it's funny because if you watch him, they've done like, you know, little documentary type things on this. He turns his player positioning based on where he's at, so he gets the footsteps in the particular ear where his hearing is good. So you're talking about a top level player, one major
top
championship.
Four player last
yeah,
year.
Yeah, you know, so it's impressive. And but yeah, he will be taking a step down from the team. Kind of gets into the Rumorville situation of who's going to replace him, right?
Yeah, and you know, I will say here, per sources, it's going to be FNX. And what's that source, you say? It's us, the center ring. Because not 5 feet from us, while we were watching the finals, who was sitting directly to our right? FNX. Right there in Arlington. He traveled with the team, obviously not playing with them. He's not signed with MIBR. He has no reason to be there other than the fact that he is going to be replacing Fur. Am I wrong?
There are like rumors of him signing with Luminosity if they offer him a contract. So it's not 100%, but it would make you believe, at least for the stand-in for the next tournament, you know, that it would be FNX. I don't see any type of long-term, you know, situation here, because obviously Fur is not going to be the one you make a change on if you're going to make a change. But yeah, I mean, it does look like FNX would be the logical choice.
I think they're done making that permanent decision with FNX. And I'm kind of surprised that anybody in the Brazilian scene is making that move as well to keep this guy. I mean, he just has a terrible track record. He's perfect for that fill-in role, because if he stays too long with the team, it just seems like he just is his own worst enemy. Yeah.
But what happens if he fills in, he goes nuts? You know, they look like, you got to think from MIBR's perspective, you're just trying to capture some of that magic that you had, right? And so if FNX were to come in and fill in and play really well, I think that puts some really tough questions on them of, you know, do we want to try and bring the gang back together? I think if you were to get rid of like a Tarek or a Stewie, it almost feels like both would move, right? Not just to one or the other.
Yeah, it's both.
There's no like rhyme or reason for it in terms of there's nothing that's been said if that, you know, that would confirm that at all. But it just feels like it would be odd to kick one off and probably not move out from the other.
But I mean, even how they got there, right? You kind of felt like the reason Tarek was comfortable going there was because of Stewie, right?
Yeah. And Stewie's the only one that made the change knowing. Yeah.
Right. But I feel like now, though, especially when the team hasn't been performing as well as, excluding this, right? I'm not calling second place not performing well. We said it last week, right? Don't judge yourself when you lose against Astralis, because everyone loses against Astralis. And they ended up beating them earlier in the tournament, right? So they proved that it could be done. They went 2-1 in the winner's match of Group A. So they proved that, yeah, you can beat them. So I still don't see them making any permanent roster moves, especially like Tarek didn't have his best tournament, but he had that insane clutch 4v1, which I would like to think at least buys you another, you know, chance at with this roster.
No, they're going to keep going right now.
Yeah,
like, they're going to keep going. They made the finals. They played well in the tournament. You don't make the change if you're noticing a rise in performance, mm-hmm. right? Even though you lost to the number one team in the world, and you took them to basically two overtimes or break point where you had an opportunity to win both matches here. So I think this is where you try to push through and see what you have. Now, if you plummet back to where you were at and it's just, you know, that was a blink and it happened and it's no longer there, you start to consider making changes, but they're going to have to push forward with this roster for now.
Yeah. And I mean, on the bright side, the person that is by, you know, just by happenstance leaving the team did the absolute worst in this tournament, or at least in the finals, right? Fur went negative 20 with a ADR average damage per round of 57.8, like almost non-existent, really.
We call that a Brett.
Oh, definitely. There is no doubt about it. Unless you put an AUG in my hand and then I'm a god.
And then you might go negative like 18 instead of 20.
No, dude. Hey, I'm positive with the AUG, dude. Hey, that's I'm revitalized.
You go dominate that silver one.
Oh, I will. And then I'm going to climb. And then I'm going to dominate you guys. Just watch. It's coming. Okay. Get ready.
I hope so. I'd love to see it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, with MIBR, it's almost like perfect timing, right, for Fur having to step down to take this surgery. And now they get to try FNX to see if that just happens to work. And then you don't have that awkward, like, hey, Fur, you suck, you got to go kind of thing. It's like, hey, you lost your position due to injury. Like, what do you want from us?
I don't think you can do that to a guy that was arguably one of the best players in Counter-Strike not even like a few months ago, right? Like,
but even now he's been one of the better players on the team.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really do, I mean, if it's true, like a true injury, I mean, you're not going to remove a guy that's world class and replace him with a guy that, you know, has been a cancer pretty much everywhere he's gone. I don't know, man.
I wouldn't put anything above how a CSGO roster is made. That's all. I mean, I would not be surprised.
Our former point, I think it would be a Stewie or Tarek move before it'd be a Fur permanent gun. Yeah.
I don't know. Ultimately, the roster, you could talk about whatever angle with MIBR. Now, though, on the topic of Astralis, which there's really not a whole lot you can critique about their play. I think ultimately, again, this came down to the use of utility. On how they were being able to just
go figure
slightly outperform MIBR to win.
Yeah.
You know, they went to double overtime and everything and overpass, but you saw that MIBR was wasting a lot more utility. You know, I think you and I were laughing sitting there watching it in person that there were times where MIBR would double molly the same play, the same spot.
And it happened like it felt like three or four times in the first
match. Yeah. And there was a moment on overpass where they threw a random on B site, they threw a random flashbang over the wall without peeking. And it's like, why did you throw that flash? Like, it's not gonna delay, you know, anything. There were still like what, like a minute 30?
If and you're not it, peeking it was just with odd. It, what's it for?
Yeah. Yeah, it was odd. Yeah.
And I did ask, so afterwards, I stuck around afterwards to interview some of the guys and I talked to Glaive. I don't have the audio clip of this, but I asked, you know, what is your weakness, right? What is Astralis's weakness? And he said pretty much in this tournament, it just came down to they haven't had enough downtime to think of anything new, right? So he's like, it's not that we're playing any worse. It's just teams are figuring out what they're doing. So they're able to counter it and they haven't had time to think of something new. Which is pretty insane that he's saying pretty much the way I interpret that is it's not that teams are any better, right? It's just...
We're not evolving right now.
Exactly, right. Like, hey, as soon as we have the time, don't worry. We're going to go back to 16-0-ing, you know, these teams. I did have, though, however, two clips of audio. And Anuj made the joke earlier how, given some NVIDIA settings, he could probably get two kills in a pro match. This all started, I don't know when. When was the tweet? Do you guys know? Wednesday?
It wasn't too long ago.
Yeah.
I mean...
It was right before the tournament started.
Yeah, right before the tournament. So Nico on FaZe tweeted out something very vague along the lines of, "What do any of you? I don't have the tweet. I'm such an unprofessional broadcaster."
Yeah, so I'll read it here.
Just a little Cliff Notes version.
He pretty much said,
"I'm not calling anyone out.
Oh, there you go.
And they are not the first players which are using it, and it's not their fault. I hope CS devs will look into it and fix it somehow." It became common for players, even myself, to sit in the smokes and watch radar, which also, in my opinion, should be fixed. You shouldn't be able to see anyone on radar until you actually see him on the screen. I'm trying to find the original tweet. You know what? I know where I have it. Put it in our thread.
He pretty much said, though. Anyways, I mean, you got the gist.
Yeah, that's basically it.
Well, you got the gist is that he made a slight knock on saying, hey, people are using certain NVIDIA settings so that way they can see through the smokes earlier than someone who doesn't have the video setting set up.
Uh-oh.
And in doing so,
you just cut out for the last like,
yeah, you just cut out for like 15, like 10 seconds.
All right.
Like five or 10.
Cut out to you, not to the recording. Oh. So it's just live broadcasting. So Nico ended up tweeting out that everyone knew who he was talking about, right? I don't think there was any question that he was talking about Astralis. So I asked Glaive afterwards, you know, how does that make you feel when, you know, one of your buddies, right, one of your co-workers, if you will, calls you out like that. And here's this audio here.
I'm not sure if he said like directly that Astralis is using this, but he kind of hinted that some pro players were, and we know that me and Sipnix is really good at shooting through smokes and working around smokes and such. So of course it's sad for us to hear, because in some way people start to believe it, especially if they are fans of Nico. So you should be careful about what you say to everyone, like on Twitter and on Instagram, because people can have the wrong look on us afterwards. And of course that's really sad for us, because we haven't done anything wrong. We would never use a buck or smoke hack or what it's called. We didn't even knew that it was possible to do it before. We never even gave it a thought. So we got really surprised that those accusations came out, and we instantly denied that we were not using any of this. And I think most people know by now that Astralis would never use something like that.
So do you buy it?
Breaking news here on TCR, they're using it.
No, definitely.
No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, no. I generally, Astralis, they're that team that they're not cocky, they're not flashy, their work ethic, like with their, you know, utility and their team play and all that. I mean, you just got to give them the benefit of the doubt, right? Like, it would be irresponsible of us, knowing and watching them in tournaments and how they play, to say that they are cheating. So until there's, you know, some sort of like video evidence or, you know, or what have you, or a player comes out and says it, you know, from Astralis or what have you, I just kind of give them the benefit of the doubt. Like, I'm going to believe they're not doing it.
Yeah. And I'm on the same page as Brett. I don't think they're cheating at all. I think this team has been a dominant team for a long time, well before, you know, I think that hack was even talked about, the Loba hack that they're discussing there. You got to remember, Astralis was one of those teams that was like the Na'Vi right now, right? Like, they were the second place team constantly. This is when they had Kerrigan as their in-game leader, but they were always on the verge of being great. Then they made the switch over to Glaive and KRB. Obviously, KRB now is Majisk. And they're winning tournaments, right? And so I don't think this is the story of a team that came out of nowhere and all of a sudden became really good. Like, this is a team that made the right changes, that practices the right way. I think Zonic is an amazing leader for them. And I think Nico said it out of frustration. They've lost to them several times. He might have not said their name directly, but I think that's the team that was in the back of his mind when he did mention it. And maybe it was just to make awareness that something like that is out there. But definitely don't think they're doing anything wrong.
And you bring up their practice. I actually specifically asked Glaive on that, so I'll just play that audio since you kind of segue into it. But I asked, all right, so if you're saying you're not doing it, right? If you're saying you're not doing the settings, then what are you doing that's different? So this is what he had to say to that.
So, of course, I watch a lot of VODs. That said, that I look a lot at, I see a lot of Counter-Strike, and there's X-ray on all the time. So I think that improves my game sense about shooting through smokes. I see what certain players do in certain kind of situations, and I try to remember it, and then I try to use it. Like, I try to think about it when I watch it, so when I'm playing, I actually can use it to my advantage.
And that, like, to me, that's perfectly believable, right? That a pro would sit there and watch tape and be like, all right, if you smoke this corner off, I know this team's tendency is to sit here, right? Or vice versa. I mean, mm-hmm. Let's face it. Like, yeah, I mean, that's what sets the good teams apart from the better teams, right? Is, for the most part, setups in Counter-Strike are all pretty cookie cutter. You know, you're going to have the guy sitting in the same corner or the same spot. Typically, and then it's the better teams that can A, counter that, like Astralis does, or you find a new spot and sit there and throw them off, which is maybe what teams are going to have to start doing. You know, you can't play Astralis the way you do other teams, because the way Astralis just preps against you is completely different than, say, Cloud9 or any other team out there.
And isn't that what makes them the best, is the fact that that is something that he is studying, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Along with just, like, you know, figuring out the smokes and what set pieces to run. Like, these are other things that they look at, you know, and I think that's taking it to another level of preparation and practice. And that's what keeps a team at the top for as long as they've been there.
Yeah.
Is and going above and beyond.
And I was talking to Tim about this during the championship match. I told Tim that, you know, from an aiming standpoint, MIBR is probably more advanced, better than Astralis. I mean, outside of maybe Device or Zipix. They just outwork you. You could just tell with their use of utility, they were just more prepared than MIBR, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they have to be. And it showed. I mean, you look at the roster, and not one person was just carrying their team, right? They all do their job. They're all, you know, right there in the kill feed with each other, and they're just a machine.
It honestly kind of reminds me, funny enough, of SK days, or even better, when they were Luminosity, right? Where it didn't matter who was alive in a 4v2, a 4v1 situation, you never felt comfortable about it. Whether it's Fallen is the only one alive, or Cold, you know, you or Taco back then, you know, you were afraid of all of them. Zipnik does not look like a guy who would just be a clutch all-star player, and yet he is. And I think there you're looking at kind of that time where teams just do not know what to do against Astralis.
Yeah, I mean, gone are the days where, you know, Fnatic was just beating people because they were just, you know, more talented, just out-aiming people. I mean, now, in order to beat Astralis, teams are going to have to mirror their style. They're going to have to, you know, practice smokes, use utility more efficiently, you know, don't blow their load, you know, early in a round. Whoa. Where, you know, they're, yeah, no, I just got edgy. You like that?
Family show, Brett.
But, you know, to have something at the end of a round when Astralis kind of plays that slow game, like, teams are going to have to adapt in order to beat them. So, you know, maybe that's what, you know,
and MIBR wasn't that far off. You know, they really took them to the edge and to the brink of victory for themselves. You're talking a couple of rounds the other way, and this is a completely different story. So maybe we're seeing a little bit more traction, or at least seeing another team come in to challenge them besides the obvious two, FaZe and Na'Vi. It would be nice to see MIBR. I think they've changed their storyline a little bit, except for you, Tim. I know your hatred for them runs deep, and that's not going to change on your end. But I think for a lot of people, they're a little bit more of the underdog story. And Stewie still has a ton of fans in NA. Tarek still has a ton of fans in NA. So I think there is a little bit of, you know, hope there from people for them to do well and possibly dethrone them.
And I mean, it was a great finals, great tournament overall. Pleasantly surprised, really. You typically don't see that level of play, but I think we're seeing kind of a early development of a rivalry. But I do want to get into the stadium, because this was, after all, the opening weekend for Esports Stadium in Arlington, Texas. And we had the pleasure. It was one of the big reasons I wanted to go, right? I guess that's why I was so surprised that I enjoyed the tournament so much, because I was really just wanting to go so I could see the stadium, right? That's what I was interested in.
Right.
And because I was dogging on it, right? I think you guys were too.
I think we all were when we saw the concept.
I think none of us were blown away by the concepts.
It
seemed pretty bland. It seemed pretty safe. Mm-hmm. And what's funny is you walk in and the building on the inside and the arena and everything there looks exactly like the concepts do. Like, the concepts could have just been a painting of what was already there, because it looks exactly like what you think it looks. But when the concepts kind of looked uncreative, you get there and you're like, okay, this is pretty legit. I thought it was really well done.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm with you, Tim. I mean, the stage looked great. You know, the acoustics were awesome. You know, the outside gaming area was great. I do have one gripe, and we experienced this when we first got there and I saw you and Anuj kind of scoot down a few chairs. It's just when you don't have stadium seating and you have like just chairs kind of lined up, you will get that one guy that just loves sitting in front of shorter people. I mean, I'm like 5'11", So I'm not like super short, but I had this giraffe of a human like sit right in front of me, and I could not see the screen that was above the players. So, I mean, I would like to see that eventually, but everything else was
fantastic. Also going to get that one guy who might be a little heavier set. And, you know, he's going to take more than just the seat allows.
Those chairs were cozy.
You're definitely going to be touching love handles in the
You are going to get to know your neighbor if it's 100% sold out.
No, but overall, I agree. I thought the stadium was fantastic. I love the foyer area where they had all the gaming computers and the consoles and fighting game little arcades set up for people to go and play for like $4 an hour, and that's open throughout the whole week. I thought that's a really neat idea to keep. You know, you don't want, not everybody wants to go there and watch Counter-Strike for 5-6 hours, but maybe they'll watch it for like an hour or two, and then they'll go play for an hour or two.
Spend $4 and go play for an hour, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and you can go play some Street Fighter and dominate Tim 3-1, you know?
No big deal. Damn. I didn't even know that happened. Nobody mentioned that. But yeah, I thought that was like a really cool idea. Again, the stadium itself was cool. I love the graphics that they put up specifically for ECS. I thought that was really neat, the way they showed the utility and the map and how it zoomed in when, you know, the bomb was planted. So I thought they did some new cool stuff there, and that might have been more of an ECS thing. I don't want to say everything was perfect. The lights when a team won, oh my gosh. When a team went around, the winning team on their side, all the lights turned this bright white. And it just shines on you. Like,
may God have mercy on your soul if you were accidentally looking in that direction.
I know, because you guys were to my direct right. And like, I would look over and we're talking, and then they would win around, and it's like this bright, oh God, you know, I can't see for like 5 seconds.
I felt like the merch area was pretty weak, but I assume that's more on ECS and the team's bad, right? I think eventually you're going to have like stock at the stadium, right? Like Cloud9 or Envy, if they're smart, are going to give the stadium stock and say, hey, sell our jerseys, right? Yeah. Here's Envy merchandise. Go ahead and sell it.
On top of that, we came day two. So
yeah, we came day two.
A lot of stuff was maybe not there because teams had already left. Also, they weren't all there to like throw their merch out there. So we did see stuff that people had on that we didn't see available in the merch store.
Yeah, and I think we were kind of spoiled by ESL too, right? Like, I mean, there's just they had like a gigantic area just dedicated to merch. So seeing that kind of
the first of its kind, I think there's a lot of, I mean, I give it an A as far as the experience and everything there. I thought it was great. I think they have their calendar on their website. You could check it out. It looks like they constantly have local events, and you can sign up. Anuj, we can do a Counter-Strike tournament if you want. Since you won't be attending DreamHack this year, you can get your Counter-Strike tournament fix.
Too soon.
I do think they did a really, really polished job. I don't know. I will hope that when they realize, like, okay, when they feel comfortable that this is going to be something that will work, right? Something that will be a success. I do hope to see better seating, though, because for us being there, we were thankfully having media. We can get up, we can walk around, we can go sit on like in the VIP area with couches and everything. It wasn't too bad. But if I was just a normal spectator and I had to sit in those chairs for like 6 hours, they'd be pretty rough. I'd like to see maybe upgraded chairs, like Brett was saying, maybe put some elevation on the back rows, so if you're in the back, you don't have to worry about sitting behind, you know, Andre the Giant and taking up all the spots. But I will say this, and I know, and I'm going to bring this up because we've knocked other events for it, and I don't know if it's the stadium or ECS, the security was 100% what I want to see at an event. You couldn't get in. First off, they let Anuj wait outside and freeze to death. They wouldn't even let him in and wait to get the media pass. They make you take off your belt. They had about 3 different checkpoints before you could even get into the stadium to show, like, hey, I have a wristband. Like, yes, I'm supposed to be here type of deal. So I thought security was really good.
Yeah, security was really good. No lanyards. Okay, big disappointment.
No, yeah.
If you're listening, guys, like lanyards or collectibles, I love them. So if we could do those at every event, that'd be awesome. But yeah, security was really good. Police officers all around. Just general security there as well. So did a good job with that. Overall, I give the event an A+ for a first event there. I can't find any glaring issues that we ran into. Had some bomb food for us too, which I appreciate. That was really good. So appreciate doing that.
And if that was the stadium catering, whew, I'm going to sign up for media at every event just so I can go get food.
Yeah, twice.
So between ECS and the stadium, you know, all the staff there was really friendly. You had some event members there asking like, hey, how does this work? What's going on right now? It looked like they were kind of getting into watching it. It was just a really fun atmosphere, you know? And the cool thing about it is because it's a permanent thing, you know, most of these places, they by the time they figure out how to work everything and not have tech delays and internet issues and audio issues and everything like that, the event's over, they pack up, and they got to move on to the next one where they're going to run into all same or new issues at a different stadium, right? Or at a different convention center. This is not like that. They can literally leave everything plugged in. They can use it to improve on to the next event and the next weekend. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this develops down the road. Because I think, like we all said, it was a really fun event and weekend. And hopefully they make that a thing. Hopefully we start seeing more tournaments like that. I think they said, what, only like 1,200 seating. So you're not going to get like a major there anytime soon. Maybe if they drop that wall and then expand the seatings and then put monitors off the ceiling like midway through, maybe. But even then, I mean, I've been to majors that sold out 10,000 seats. So I think you're going to see tournaments of this size there. I don't think you're going to see anything huge. But I don't think it was really meant to be that. I think it's more or less an experiment for the city of Arlington. So I don't know. We'll keep an eye on that. I did want to get into this, though. I read the headline, as I'm a headline reader, but I know you guys are a little bit more informed on this next topic, and that's Fortnite. Rears its ugly head again. I thought it was established, right? I said, I don't like it. Anuj says, I need to believe in it. It's going to be huge, as far as esports goes. And every time I believe, it just does another thing to make me be like, ah, so we're not ready just yet. And that is, someone was caught cheating, correct?
Yeah, so let me kind of explain what the tournament is first.
Yes, explain.
To give a little light, like, just story here. So this is the Winter Royale tournament. This is available to every player in-game, okay? So this is,
so we're talking
console, PC, and or console, yeah, both consoles and PC. So
anybody and could I do it, though? You don't have to be pro?
Yeah, no, you don't have to be pro, okay? So this is anybody in the game can do it. So all 20, 30, 40 million, whatever the heck the number is now. So the way it works is that during certain times, the event opens up, and it tells you in their UI, like as a countdown and everything. And once the event starts, every game played within that time frame counts towards a point total for you. Points are based off of wins, with kills and a mixture of scores, and essentially it's telling you like you need to get to this point to advance to the next stage. So with that being said, is it really surprising that there was cheating involved, right? I think,
yeah, I thought this was a LAN event, like, or is that something else?
Yeah, that's not this. So this is Winter Royale. It's again open to everybody. So
I'm thinking Showdown. Are the showdowns alive?
Yeah, so they have the summer skirmish and things like that. So they'll do events like that where those are live. And they did one for TwitchCon, I believe, as well. They had an event there that was a LAN event. So they have had some, but those are very different, right? Those are like invited people to come and play because it's not a true ranking system. You just go off of who you think is the best. This is available to anybody. So this is one of those things where I feel like Epic is like just throwing money at it to create something fun in game. I don't look at this necessarily as a true esports event.
I mean, you have pros playing, so that's why we're talking about it right now. But am I surprised? No. Is it a bad look for Epic because, you know, cheaters are caught on stream? More importantly, one of the more popular Fortnite streamers, Tfue, was killed by a hacker, and he spectated that hacker, and everyone that was, you know, watching Tfue could see this guy just cheating his way to, you know, a higher seat. I'm not sure if the hacker won or not, but I mean, it's just a bad look for Epic. I mean, you see these guys in your game, you know, taking money away from other players, and it just sucks.
Give me one game.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Open event, like, give me just one game if they did an open event for any player that you would not have cheating in there.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
And I'm not arguing that point, right? I'm just saying it would happen. Most definitely it would happen. But it just sucks to see it live happening.
It's a big deal because there's $1 million on the line, right? Like, right. That's what makes it interesting. But I don't think when it comes down to, like, the numbers narrowing down, they'll be able to tighten up on that a little bit. Right now, when you have like, you know, 10 million people playing in this, it's going to be hard for them to catch everybody at this
point. He was not the only one hacking.
Yeah. It's unfortunate that it happened to Tfue, and it happened on stream. So that enhances it, and it's now there for everyone to see. But I just don't think it's surprising. But I also don't consider this like an esports tournament. It's a fun event where the company is throwing $1 million into a pool for people to go and play and giving back to their community. However, they're giving it back, like, it still might end up going to a pro player for all you know. But it gives people the hope and hey, it's a way to find new talent. Like, it's just a cool little thing that I feel like they've added.
Yeah. And it was the summer skirmish, right? That was also supposedly won by
There was somebody that was suspected, but that was never confirmed.
And that wasn't necessarily, it was like using a controller on something, if I remember correctly. So, you know,
on Zim or something.
Yeah, that kind of goes back to the whole Astralis using the smoke, right? Is that cheating? Not really. They changed a setting. Like, is using a controller on PC cheating? Not really. It's just the way the mechanics work with it. But like, I promise
you won't see a cheater in the final stages in this event.
Right.
Like, you'll be able to catch people like that well before that. It's just really tough with the number that they're dealing with right now.
I think bottom line is Fortnite still sucks.
I was waiting for it.
I don't know why anyone plays it.
Like, right now, there's bigger issues than... I disagree with Tim. Okay, throwing that out there. Completely disagree with Tim.
We're going to talk about that next for the 30 minutes. Is why Fortnite sucks.
No, like, so the thing that they're having bigger issues with that I think are more more of a nuisance in this tournament than even cheaters is right now the network isn't great. So the game is running incredibly laggy, and I've noticed it even when I'm playing it, you know, playing it with my friends. Like, I've noticed that it has been laggy. You're seeing it happen now on stream for a lot of these guys. And then they also have currently some mechanics in the game that are come into question. They took out the redeploy. They've also added a turret in the game. So they've added some weapons that are not well taken by the community at this point in time. So the game's not in its best state. And then the timing of this event, I think, is the third thing. This started right after Thanksgiving. So you did see a lot of pro players drop out due to the fact that they were out on holiday. I get the timing at the same time.
We didn't bring up with ECS, right? It's the fact that they scheduled this. The stadium was not full. And the fact that these guys just, it's like, do these guys not look at calendars, right? Between Epic Games and ECS and doing things on Thanksgiving weekend?
Do we give them a pass because they're European?
Well, that's exactly why we don't give them a pass.
Dude, we won any soil. Like, it doesn't even matter. Like, it's come on. You know, it is a really tough weekend. At the same time, I kind of get it. I get it more for the Winter Royale event than I do ECS, because ECS would have done great any weekend, right? Like, any weekend that they brought that event here, it was gonna sell out. It was gonna be a packed house, and it wouldn't have deterred anything. For the Winter Royale, for example, you'll probably draw bigger numbers doing it when you know kids are out of school and they have 2 or 3 hours on a day to play with the event open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's using logic there. But again, the game still sucks. Can you can we talk about that?
Talk. Is that what we really want to talk about? It's not a bad game.
Dead horse. Like, all right, let's get into some e-news here.
good.
That was not a good segue.
No, it was terrible, but we're just going to go with it. So we stopped talking about Fortnite.
And now for the salt mine.
Let's see, what else do we have going on here? In other news, in Counter-Strike, minor qualifiers have kind of started for the upcoming major. Really, this is just an excuse to bring up old C9, which I think they call it, what, the budget Cyber Monday
the
of
old,
cloud.
Old man's?
Yeah,
it's all man's gaming old club. Man's. They had in the front of their name, they had the word budget. So it's like budget skadoodle, budget shroud.
All right, so it's pretty much skadoodle, shroud, nothing, and Sean Garris and one other person.
Silent.
And they're currently, you know, just doing their normal kind of old man pickup league almost. But they are qualifying for the minor. And apparently, Doc said that he will coach the team if they make it to Poland.
Oh, please. Let it happen. Oh,
can
my God.
Can you imagine? Doc coming out of the smoke doing his dance.
Just doing that. Oh, man. Oh.
I think it's funny, you know what? That none of them are taking it serious, and yet they're not going to make stage. I think they will throw by the time they make the stage, and they'll probably bow out. They will probably give up their spot, even if they qualify to make it to Poland.
It's
but
just
they
funny
could qualify for the major if they wanted to.
It's funny to think about. I mean, every single person on that team is like a shorter person, right? Like Shroud's not the tallest person in the world. Nothing's a short dude. And then you just got,
I think Skadoodle's,
you got Doc
tall.
Walking you out. And it just kind of looks Doc. Like their dad, right? Well, I mean, outside of Skadoodle, but
right.
it would look funny.
Like dad's walking
you
funny. Out. I think they
team
could
can make
qualify.
It through the minor I
if
don't
they
think.
Wanted to. If they wanted to, like I'm saying, you watch them
they
now
have to
and
practice
they're
a ton.
Is Tim going to accuse him of like an eye by power thing? Is it? Are you saying they're going to throw?
It's in their blood. It's not the first time.
Oh, no.
Ska on the team. You can't trust any of them.
Ooh.
And bigger. We can say it now. He's retired. So.
Yeah, he's retired now. We can joke about it. Look, I could say it the second he told us no for a liner. Okay. In other CSGO news, tell me a little bit about this G2 mini French shuffle.
The mini French shuffle. The French scene is just jacked. So basically, G2 has now benched Smith and Existence. Existence being their in-game leader, and they have added Jax and Lucky from something something gaming. Let's see. I have no idea. I think. I don't know. The only one not signed to a long-term deal is Kenny. If I were him, I would bolt quick. G2 is a mess. Like,
my opinion with the French scene is like, I'm gonna believe it when I see it. You know, it's kind of like, look, you guys can make any roster moves you want. I feel
like
we've
US
all
soccer,
been here
dude.
Before. You know,
it's
we've
like
all
US
been
soccer.
Here before. It really is. It's like, yeah, you can throw any big names you want out there, dude. But we've seen this before. So, have to wait and see.
Yeah.
In Overwatch news, Ashe did become available today in comp play, which is going to be the first time for many things. Maybe Anuj can get out of bronze.
I'll be in diamond by the end of the week.
Dang. Good luck. Have
and
fun.
you'll finally start to see her being used by pros in a setting where people want to win, right? It's not just in quick play or anything like that where no one cares or on PTR. So this is the first time we get to see her being used by pros in some type of winning fashion. So I'm kind of curious to see what setups they use her in and everything there.
I mean, she's almost relevant in every setting. Just
yeah,
from
I mean,
the pros that I watched today.
Like I said, in a pro's hand, yeah, like effect is pretty just nasty.
I was watching IDDQD play today, and I mean he was nasty as well. I mean, just a game changer.
in COD news, Anuj?
Yeah, so Spacely has a team that they created before the first 2K, and they went to the finals in the first 2K. I think they placed top 8 in the second one. 2Ks are events where these guys build points, essentially, for their pro team. They're unsponsored.
Everyone hates it, too.
Yeah, it's a total mess, like, because it's an open event, right? So picture Fortnite tournament for COD against pro teams, right? It's like a mess. So they are going unsponsored. They've had some team offers, and they decided to kind of gamble on themselves and going unsponsored for the first CWL event, which I think is pretty awesome, because, like, if they really hit that off, they could come out with some pretty decent contracts.
Yeah.
Yeah, gambling on themselves, just something kind of cool.
It's a risk. It's a risk you'll have to take. And E-League is hosting a Rocket League tournament starting up on the 30th, so this weekend. It is invite, so Brett?
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to watch it. I think it's only going to be on Twitch, right? I don't think it's going to make TV. But, I mean,
I can never tell with this E-League if it's going to be on TV or not.
It's Machine is hosting.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome.
Well, you know, Machine is the new Richard Lewis of E-League, so he should be hosting everything E-League does.
And he's great. Like, he does well at anything. But I like the lineup. There is one team that I would have liked to see and seen in G2. You know, Rocket League G2, Counter-Strike G2. But and I would have liked to see him take Chief's position. I mean, no one really cares about the Oceanic. You know, region. I know, kind of rough to say, but I would have liked to seen G2 play, just because, you know, of my NA bias. So it's going to be sad not to see them, but great lineup. Can't wait to see it.
And breaking news right here on TCR. It will be on TBS starting. Oh no, it's going to what? Feature series begins December 7th, but the tournament's to December 2nd. So someone figure that out and then get back to us. Maybe they're doing like, I think what they're doing is it's going to be on Twitch, and then on the 7th of December, they're going to have like a shorter kind of chopped up version of everything live and just kind of show you the highlights and what you need to know. So if you want to watch it on TV, just ignore everything this weekend and hold out to December 7th. And then you can tune into TBS and be surprised, I guess. So, good luck. I guess that's how they're doing it anyways. And that just about does it for E-News. And that also just about does it for this episode of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite eSports podcast. Episode 132 in the books. I thank you all for listening, whether you skipped around or listened to the whole thing. I love you all the same. We will be back next week at our normal schedule time, Monday, 8:30 p.m. Central. This week was a little different. I had
no more anniversaries.
Husband duties to get to. So
you're a good man.
Appreciate everyone for sometimes understanding that. Follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. Our website, tcr.gg. Again, we stream on Twitch, twitch.tv/TheCenterRing. Our show's live every week. And we have scheduled times 9 to 11, Wednesday, Thursday. But obviously, if you follow us, we pretty much stream randomly, sporadically, but almost every night. Not necessarily everything esports. So if you want to come chill with us, I think we're goofy guys. We also love just talking esports. So if you have questions or just want to talk about anything, that is definitely the time to do so. But for Anuj, for Brett, I'm Tim. We'll see you next time.